You are now listening to Productivity Boss Moves with Robert Price. For more, visit robertprice.co.
Welcome to Productivity Boss Moves. This is your host, Productivity Coach Robert Price, and I am here with an amazing guest for you today. I'm with Altavis Pelzer, and just to give you a little bit about her, she's going to come in and really break it down and tell you all of what she's about. But she unmutes the voice of women from what has kept them silent for so long. We've developed a relationship. We've been on a call together, an accountability business accountability call together. And so that's how I've been able to meet Altavis, and she's just been such a joy and a pleasure to be around. But just a couple of weeks ago, we had an opportunity to talk, and she gave me some background information about her journey, her business journey and her life journey, really, and kind of how she's got to this point. But there was something in particular that she talked about in that I'm gonna save it. I'm gonna get into that. But first, will you just tell the audience like who you are? Who is Altavis?
Most definitely. So Altavis, your voice manager here, and I am the host of the hashtag Speakeasy podcast. I am a speaker and award-winning author. Listen, I am an introvert. That part makes a whole lot of sense, and you'll understand why later in the episode. But also, I am a woman on the move, like moving and shaking, achieving new things, and really going outside of myself and outside of my comfort zone in order for me to impact and, you know, women all around the world. Like that part has really become one of the things that I love so much, is being able to utilize platforms like Facebook, podcasting, and things of the sorts to be able to connect and empower other women who've literally come through divorce, molestation, homelessness, so many different things, because I can relate to that and I can show them that there is life on the other side. So with that being said, I'm super excited to come and talk to your audience, because the reason I'm here is what I said kind of rubbed Robert a little bit.
Yeah,
it kind of stirred some things.
it rubbed me the wrong way. So Let me just give some background. So we're in a conversation, and Altavis is talking about, well, how we even connected is on a book. She's doing a book now. I don't know what you want to have said or not have said. I'll be very secretive about this, but she's got a book coming out, and I made a suggestion about the title, and we connected off of that. So we started sitting down talking about the book, and then that led to Altavis saying that she's wrote 15 books. And I was like, wow, that's phenomenal. And then I figured out she wrote her first book in 2016. And that's when I wrote my first book. But what we were able to find out, based on the remainder of that conversation, is that I'm still on one, and she has done 15 since then. So, you know, I'm pretty competitive. So that kind of heated me up a little bit. And so I just said, you know, I have to have you on the podcast to talk to my audience. And guys, I will have at least one book out, another one out by the end of the year. That is a fact. I'm working on it right now. So just know that that's coming. But I said, you got to come on a podcast and talk to, you know, my audience about how, you know, what are the principles that you use, the productivity principles that you use to write 15 books in 4 years. And so that's how we landed here. And so I'm just going to step back and let the master speak.
So this is the thing, and this is an aha moment that I had early on, was that a lot of times what we find easy to do, what we find is something that, you know, it just comes natural in conversation for us, something that we're always discussing, is not easy for everyone else.
Right.
And knowing that will put you in a whole different perspective as you listen to this. So what I want you to do, yes, I'm talking to you that's listening right now. Now, I'm really big on index cards, but you can write it down in a notebook. You can do a napkin if you're not home, that's fine. But I want you to write down 3 things that people come and ask you your advice on. 3 things. Because I can guarantee you that if they're asking you your advice on those 3 things, that you know something really, really important about those 3 things. Now, granted, that don't include your homie, that don't always include your girlfriends, because sometimes we'll just come and ask a question just because, just because I need somebody that's not going to completely look at me with the side eye. But on the real, you have many people who will come and ask you about business. Why? Because there's a point that you've made it to in business that people have not, they haven't grasped that point. They're missing it. And so I always say, start with that. What are 3 things that people always come to you and ask you information about? They ask you questions about it. They try to do that pick your brain sessions. You know, the ones where they go and they like, oh, I'll buy you dinner. I'll buy you lunch. Can I just, you know, pick your brain a little bit? Oh, I'll pay for coffee. You're going to learn in this episode that what you know and what you understand is more valuable than coffee. I want you to have that clear understanding by the end of this, because by the end of this, you will not only have the productivity steps that I use to be able to create and write, but you'll also have a challenge. I'm big on taking action. And so, yeah, you're going to get some work. You're going to do some work over here. So I want you to write those 3 things down, because again, those are 3 areas that you're really knowledgeable in. Your knowledge is valuable. Your time is valuable. It really is. And so what really helped me the first thing was me having that understanding that if my knowledge is valuable enough for people to come and always ask me about it and want to quote unquote buy me lunch in order to pick my brain, then why am I just settling for lunch? Now that's an ouch. That's an ouch. Why am I settling for lunch? Because if I take that same content and put it in a book and sell it for $10 and sell 5 copies, then I have lunch for the week. If I put that same content in a book and then I create a course out of it and I sell that course for a couple $100 per person, now I'm starting to replace the income from my job. But that's getting a little ahead of ourselves. I understand. I know.
I love that.
That's that, look, repurposing the content. I got you. I hold on tight, because I'm going to give you some nuggets and then I'm going to give you some hacks at the end. So that's the first thing, is I have to write down, what are the 3 things that people always come to me about, or the 3 things that I'm knowledgeable about? I went to school for it. I have a degree in it. Many of you have certifications and things, and it's sitting. The certification is sitting on a shelf. The degree is, do you even know where your degree is? Do you? Because listen, I can tell you that I have an associate's degree and I may not know where it is. It's in the home.
Somewhere.
But exactly where, she, me, her can't tell you. But guess what? When someone purchases my book, they've never asked me where my degree is. When somebody purchases a book, they've never asked me, where is my certification? They read the information, they get something from it, and they're excited about it, and they come back and purchase more things, that part. So that was number one, is write those three things down. Number two.
Can we just pause there? Because I love that. And can I just say this? And this is for those of you who are listening, who you might yourself be in this category. But I literally have this type of conversation with clients all the time, where they come to me for coaching on, you know, trying to discover their gift and get their business off the ground. And, you know, and oftentimes some of them will say, yeah, I'm going to do this thing over here, but I'm trying to get either this certification first or these certifications first. And one thing that I often remind these people is that when you came to me, at no point did you ever ask me for my certifications. At no point did you ever say, hey, I want to start coaching with you, I think, but can you send me over your certifications and credentials? Can you send that over to me? No, you just had a problem that I was able to help you solve. And so you paid for the service. And if you help people solve a problem, that is actually what certifies you. Not, I'm just saying, but I just want the
But you know what that is though, Robert? Results speak volumes. Results speak, they speak louder than a piece of paper. They speak louder than a formal education. They speak, results speak volumes. That's how we've been able to look at people who didn't at one time finish school. We were able to look at those who, they didn't go the traditional route, and we're able to listen to them because results speak volumes. And so people may be saying, you know, oh, well, you know, I need this education. I need this. Granted, she, me, her will never go to a doctor that does not have a degree. Right. I need your papers. I need to see them on the wall. I need your receipts.
But I'm saying, I feel you on that. But if I have a family member that says to me, hey, go to Dr. Peacock, they take care of our kids, they on point, I promise you, what I'm going to Dr. Peacock on the basis of is my family member who said, hey, go to Dr. Peacock. I ain't really checked for the degrees, even though, yes, we're going to need you to be, we need you to have that degree as a doctor. I'm just saying, I'm not checking for that as a customer, but go ahead.
And that's true. Word of mouth is still very, but this is the other thing. And that's something I'm going to tell y'all on the back end, is that word of mouth is going to be how you sell the books and sell the information and how you go and you get more content for more books. So we talked about getting the three things, the content, putting that down. Those are some things that you can talk about. Is that necessarily going to be what you write your book on? No. But I need you to come out of that fog. I need you to come out of that brain where you're saying, I need more in order for me to be good enough. And so one of the other things is, that leads us to number two, is I need you to have a real talk conversation with yourself. Are you an early bird or are you a night owl? It makes a difference. And I'm not talking about partying. I'm not talking about going to club. No, we're not. That's not. No, I don't want anybody saying, but Coach Altavis said that, you know, I'm a night owl, so I should just go to the club and I get some. No, that's not what I said. I want you to have an understanding of when your most productive time is. Because see, what happens is we attempt to try to be productive and have a higher level of productivity in a time that we're not productive at all. I'm an early bird. I can get up and get more things done between 4 a.m. and 10 a.m. than most people can get done in a whole day. But if you come at me at 9 o'clock at night, I don't know what you're going to hear. I don't know what I'm going to say.
You don't got nothing for them at 9 p.m.
I got one eye open because that's not my most productive time. Can I do things in the evening? I can. I can make it work. Naps are an amazing thing. But I'm going to work in my most productive time. So one of the things as writers is that we get into this comparison mode, and we think, oh, well, somebody else said that they wrote an hour a day. Somebody else said that they wrote 2,000 words a day. Somebody else said, okay, Kim, you are you, not them. I get it. That worked for them. You got to find what's going to work for you. And so that means you have to be real about what is your most productive time. If you're an early bird, then you need to get up an hour earlier and spend time writing. If you're a night owl, then you need to shut everything down and give yourself an hour at night and spend time writing. Now, can you give yourself more time than that? Of course you can. But do it when you are most productive. Why would you go against the grain? Why would you go against it? It makes no sense for you to go against it. And so people always say, well, I don't understand how you were able to do 15 books in 4 years. Like, ma'am, I don't know where that came from. I work at the times that work best for me. I still have 4 children. I still, right now, I'm back in school. I still have clients. I was going live every day on social media. And building up a clientele and building up a following. And I was still traveling and doing live events. And then when all of this started the journey, back in 2016, when I rebranded and started this whole, I'm gonna be in the forefront of my business, I was still working full time. So that meant when was my most productive time? It was before I went to work in the morning. It was on my lunch break and let me tell you, I would be in the back room doing work and I'd have stuff in my head. I'm listening to podcasts. I'm listening to eBooks. I'm putting the right stuff in my head. So that way when I get to that most productive time, oh, I'm ready to go. I'm making sure that what I'm putting in is going to be the stuff that I want to come out.
I just got this image in my head when you were just talking just now about that point that you just made about listening to the right stuff, kind of priming yourself for that time. And like, people underestimate how important that is. But I just made like some brownies on Sunday. Those are like my go-to. It's just my go-to whenever I'm feeling generous, you know, and I want to make people feel happy. I might eat one or two, but it is really 4 people. Somebody mentioned to me they make theirs with nuts. I'm like, I can't make it with nuts because some people are allergic. And, you know, anyways, I was making brownies. But the thing that I had to do before I made the brownies is I had to preheat the oven. There was no way that I could just throw the mix, the eggs, the vegetable oil, the water, everything that went into that. There's no way I could throw that mix in there without the oven being preheated. And what you're talking about is like preheating yourself so that when it came to that time, you already had this battery in your back to knock out these chapters. So I just heard that. I had to share that.
And so that's like, when you think about it, if I'm going through, especially at work, let's be honest, when we're at work, and I it's going to hurt a little bit.
Yeah, hurt us.
We've been taught to work smarter, not harder. So when we look at what we actually do at work, we kind of procrastinate most of our day. That's the reality.
Real talk.
That's real talk. the 8 hours that you're spending at work, you're not working 8 hours. And I think that was a reality check for a lot of people in this quarantine while we've been home in 2020, because, you know, I was already home, but the people that were at a job and now they're home, they were blowing my phone up because they were like, first of all, how do you not get distracted? How do you not want to just lay down all day and watch TV? How do you not eat all the snacks in the house? Like, yo, what is going on? And it was a thing of, well, I was already starting that process while I was at my job. And if I didn't have to be in that location, I was outside. I'm gonna go for a walk. I'm gonna go, whatever I needed to do. Because most times we spend a lot of time just procrastinating. We spend a lot of time thinking about what we're going to do, not really knocking stuff off of our to-do list. Yeah. And when we go through this process, now I'm being deliberate about knocking things off of my to-do list. I'm not so much focused on, you know, what listening to the podcast and the eBooks, that's what that was doing for me. It was telling me, girl, get your behind in gear. You here, but you ain't here. You could be I'm making phone calls to clients on my way into work. I'm making phone calls to clients during my lunch break. On my way home, I'm making phone calls to clients. I get home. Sometimes I got stuff to do. Listen, my kids know everybody had, everybody has a day for the kitchen. So everybody, whatever day is your day, you make dinner that day and you clean the kitchen that day.
That's it.
You got to get yourself into a headspace of, okay, I got to be productive. I'm going to have some boundaries. We're going to have some conversations. Mm-hmm. Does it always work well? No. I think for like a year, my son made spaghetti every time.
But that works. See, that would be me. I would be like your son. I would get me a meal that I can go to. I told you my go-to is brownie. I don't make no other dessert. That's all I got. So
Robert, they banned spaghetti like 6 months in my home.
Okay.
Nobody can make spaghetti.
Hey, but look, but the thing about spaghetti, you got, if you got, you know, multiple kids, that lasts long.
That was the thought process. But yeah, we didn't like it. It was horrible. All right. It was horrible, y'all. But it made them go and learn other recipes and, you know, all of those things. But that's part of it, is those boundaries. So when I'm finding my most productive time, is my most productive time is not when I get home, because I got to worry about doing homework with the kids. So how do you look at your time? Time management is very important. But time management is not always putting something down on a paper and I'm going to do this from this time to this time. It's how do I manage my time? What am I doing in that time? I'll be the first one to tell you, I will shut down and me and my kids will watch a movie. We'll watch a show, several episodes. I'll shut down. Why? Because that's still time management. I still have to spend time with my children. We still laugh and joke. We watch She-Ra and He-Man, because, you know, they had She-Ra on Netflix, the new version, and we had to compare. And yeah, all y'all She-Ra and He-Man, you know, that's our heart. We was a little
I don't know about flustered. Neither one of those.
We was a little flustered. You said you don't know about neither one. I'm out the loop. Oh man. So, but they had that was something that we did together. That's time management, because I'm still making sure that I'm managing the time that I have.
Right.
And I'm making memories. So yeah, are there going to be times where you're supposed to be writing and your child says, I want you to listen to this? Yeah. What do? You shut down and you go ahead and spend time with your kids. But you don't give yourself excuses. Now that's number three. I can't give myself excuses. If I don't get something done, it's my fault. I gotta take responsibility. It could be because guess what? We could say that the electricity went off and I didn't have any Wi-Fi. you know, so I couldn't do, you know, I couldn't type stuff up. That's a lie. Because you can still type stuff up. You can write it out. If you don't get it done, you got to take responsibility for it. And if you have kids, tell your kids what you're doing. Oh, they'll hold your butt to the fire.
Oh, they're the best accountability partners. My son don't forget nothing. He 4. That man said last night, he said it earlier in the day. I want to race. You know, that's kind of our thing. We, you know, race the cars or whatever. And he's like, I want to race. And I said something to my wife real quick. Like, I think maybe he might have forgot, you know. She like, I don't know what you thinking. He ain't forget. Man, I came in the room. He had the cars out on the bed. Like, let's go. It's showtime. So. Nah,
that's right.
Hold you to it for sure.
You gotta, and that's what it is. And this is the thing: if you can't hold yourself and your own butt to the fire, then you need to get some accountability. Accountability gives you a 95% chance of success. 95% is high, considering they say that entrepreneurs don't make it past 5 years. So, do they really have the accountability to be able to put them in that position to make it past that point? Accountability is real.
Yeah.
But you need some accountability that's going to say the same thing. No, you was wrong. No, you really did. You played around and you didn't get it done. So what are you going to do about it this week? You know, change the conversation. Let's go. Okay. You didn't finish it that time. Okay. Like I was sitting here listening to Robert. And yes, I'm throwing him under the bus right now. I was listening to Robert talk about getting the book done before the end of the year. And I was like, I'm going to need Robert to change that. I'm going to need Robert to get it done before the end of the quarter.
Okay. I got that.
Only because I know, like, I kind of know him a little bit more now. And I'm like, yeah, you throwing some procrastination in there. You probably, reality check, you probably could have it done by the end of July. But I'm not going to put you all the way under the bus. I'm just going to put you under the front 2 tires.
Okay. All right. Just keep me under the front 2.
Just the front 2 tires. I need that done by the end of the quarter.
Okay.
Because what ends up happening is the further out, when we put a deadline further out, we're less likely to reach the deadline. Because now we didn't give ourselves cushion. We didn't give ourselves some leeway. And we can say, oh, well, I still have time. Oh, well, I can put it on the back burner. I still have time. Mm-mm. Bring that back. No, no, no. We need to look at this and say, this is my goal. Okay, we're going to make it happen. And this is, that's been a part of it. Now, the last piece that I'm going to say to you guys that I really want you guys to take note of is please stop thinking you can do it all by yourself. Am I telling you to get a ghostwriter? No. But am I telling you that there are other ways for you to get your book done? Heck yeah. Remember earlier on, I told you that there's content that you have. Information. Some of you have been doing videos. Some of you have been putting quotes on Facebook and Instagram. You got all this wisdom that you're putting out in the world. So why won't you put it in a book? You done put a quote a day for the last 3 years. That's 3 devotionals. That's 3 journals. I mean, it is what it is. A lot of times we drag our feet because we're thinking, and I did it in the first, listen, my first book, it took me 8 years to write the first book. I wrote 4 in the first year. Because once you understand that the content is there, you have the content, you have the information, it's just a matter of putting it on paper, then you'll either sit down and put it on paper or you'll do what's necessary. So here are some ways that you get your book done. You take the content you already have online and you create a book. Please, oh, please make sure it is your content. We got folk out here in the industry right now. they under the train tracks. They're not even under the bus. They're under the train, okay? For using other people's content. Please make sure it's your content. You are wise enough. You are smart enough. And you know enough that you don't have to steal anybody's content. Get your content together. Get the book. You can use what you already have. Another thing, if you are somebody who says, I don't write well, it's not a problem. Or I don't have time to write, not a problem. Record yourself. Literally. Now, I'm not telling you, you got to put on the full face beat, ladies. I'm not telling you, you got to get, now you might want to get the beard a little lined up a little bit, but that's only for your own. Personal. That's only for your own personal.
I had to get mine lined up recently.
Right, you might get the beard lined up a little bit. But the video is not about the video because you're not putting the video out there. Right. But what you can do is you can send the video to a transcriber. And the transcriber will transcribe the content from your video for a book. One step. You just record. And they take it and they trans. It's still your, it's your content. It's your words. It's your story. It's still yours. But it takes it off of your, it takes it off of your to-do list. Just get it done. You can go and record videos on your way to work every day for 2 weeks. 14 videos. Talk about a different subject for each video. That's 14 chapters. Your book is done in 2 weeks. Especially y'all that have like an hour long commute. You listening to the sports channel for why? Where are they going? They in the house like you in the house. Where right. are they going? Nowhere yet. Y'all still got till July for basketball. Listen, yeah. they're not going nowhere.
That's not even going to happen, to be honest, because the cases keep going up in Florida.
Okay, listen, they're not going nowhere.
Yeah.
The NFL, they're not going nowhere right now. You good. So your commute to work, that hour that you spend in the car going to and the hour coming back, you even if you just did the hour going to and you recorded yourself talking about a subject for an hour, you can have your book done in 2 weeks. And then all you got to do is send it to a transcriber and have them. Now, is it going to cost you to send it? Please. Yes, it's going to cost you to send it to a transcriber.
Nobody's going to do it for free. Yeah.
Now, and if they are, I don't know who's going to be able to read that when it's done. Careful, because I don't know. We don't know what language that'll be in. You might want to be careful about that one.
So help us out, right? Help us new transcription of authors, if you will. Help us out, because I got some stuff I will be getting transcribed. But what's like a good, what could we expect, right? From a quality, you know, transcriber.
So a low-end transcriber will transcribe it and it's just one big paragraph.
And that's not what
that's not what you want.
No.
You'll have to go back and like figure out what you said. Like in it you'll go back and end up doing the work that you thought the transcriber was going to do. A really great transcriber, when they transcribe, when they hand it to you, it will be like all you got to do is put the pages together and it's a book.
Got it.
And okay. It makes a very big difference. And for those of you, and let's be honest, some of you may say, I don't have the money to pay a transcriber right now. Okay, I got you. I hope y'all listening. I hope you got your pen and paper. There is a program called Descript. D-E-S-C-R-I-P-T, Descript. And it transcribes your audio and video. It's about $14 a month or something. Now, it's pretty accurate. A lot of podcasters use it for their show notes for podcasting. But again, that means that you're still going to have to go back and do work. So imagine you still going to have to sit your butt down and be able to go through it and kind of take out some things, especially if you like, you know, got some strange words you done put in there and the system is like, I don't know what dictionary that's in.
So what I'm hearing is you're going to still want to pay for that transcriber. That's what I'm hearing you say. Okay.
And I learned that the hard way. Okay. I'm telling you this from years of experience of trying to do this on my own. From me trying to write the book for 8 years, the first book, to everything that I've gone through in the last four. Oh my goodness. Yeah. It's been 4 years. Wow. 4 years in publishing books. I've co-authored on different projects, and it's been different, you know, varying degrees and levels of projects that I've been a part of. Sometimes it's just better for you to go ahead and put that investment in. And guys, this is a business investment, because once you publish this book, you are an entrepreneur. And you must look at your business as a business, not a side hustle, as a business. Because a side hustle is like you having a side piece, a side chick, a side dude, a call on the weekends back. No, this is not that. Because what happens is, coming into the industry also, you know, everybody talks about side hustling and you know, side hustle your way through. And when you side hustle as an author, you miss out on many opportunities. As an author, you're an entrepreneur, you're a speaker, you are a tutor, you become a coach, you become so many different things. But you got to hone in on that and be serious about it. It's not to say that you can't do it part-time, but there's a different mindset between side hustle and entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I like to say it like this. Even if it's part-time, you have to be fully engaged part-time. Like, whatever, and really, the thing that's going to be successful, it is the thing that consumes you, even when you're at, like, your full-time, like you were saying, you were working full-time, but you were doing your thing before work, you were doing your thing in the lunch. It was consuming you. If you weren't locked into it like that, I don't know how successful, you know, it would have been. It can't be a side. You can't treat it like a side.
You can't. Because you think about a side chick. What happens with a side chick? Okay. The main chick gets Valentine's Day.
Right.
And the side chick gets February 15th. If you look at it like that, then you'll miss opportunities.
Yeah.
You will. You'll miss opportunities.
If you look at it from a food perspective, there are some good sides out there. But at the end of the day, it's not an entree.
It's not an entree. You still need that entree. You got to figure it out. And if you go into it with that mindset, it's very difficult to shift it. I tell a training that I did for my clients was going from the employee to the entrepreneur. Because there's several, when you're in business, you'll go through several shifts. The employee thinks different than the entrepreneur. And the entrepreneur thinks different than the business owner. It's a completely different mindset. The entrepreneur, there's more of a hustle. The entrepreneur, there's more of a, you know, I'm in full go, go, go. The small business owner, I need to put systems in place. And those systems are what's going to be able to bring me even more money. The employee, I'm waiting for somebody to tell me what to do. And if you're an entrepreneur waiting for somebody to tell you what to do, you're going to be a brokepreneur. If you're a small business owner, always trying to be in the hustle, you're not going to make it. Because And this, listen, this is a little side, it's a little sidebar, but I really need y'all to gain access to this. Because if I go and I have a small business and I don't put systems in place, what ends up happening is something falls by the wayside. You see a lot of businesses with broken relationships. They don't talk to their children. They don't have relationships with their families. They're dealing with depression. They're dealing with a lot. So on a big scale stuff, it's a process. Having a coach is what you need in order to get you through the process.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that small business owner, they can't always manage things like a side hustle. They can't manage things like an entrepreneur. The entrepreneur, they can't work like an employee, because if they work like an employee, they're going to be broke. And you always going to be thinking about, I need somebody to tell me the next step. I need somebody to give me what my next move is, or somebody to tell me if I'm doing this right. Entrepreneurship is about doing it wrong and learning from it.
Yeah. That's good stuff. This was a whole meal right here. This wasn't a side, right, what you gave us. So, man, this is incredible. Thank you so much. I wrote down, you know, some of the stuff I wrote down, the three things people ask you your advice on. You know, we all got that, you know. Then you talked about, well, I don't know if this was the next, this wasn't number two. Number two was have a real talk conversation with yourself about, you know, what's your most productive time. The number three was take no excuses, take responsibility. And I'm going to put this on wax. We're not even into July yet. So I'm going to accept your challenge, right? But because I'm feeling so guilty here as you're going through this stuff, because I have everything I need. I've already recorded stuff. Like, the only thing standing between me and having this book done is doing it. That's literally the only thing. So for me, I'm going to take responsibility and not make any excuses. I'm going to have this book done for my part. Now, you know, there's a lot involved in the publishing process, but my part will be done by July 31st.
Yes.
So we're gonna have that in play. That was number three. Number four. So you don't have any excuses that's listening, because I just put this out on wax. So I put myself out there, and you guys will know, because I'll be showing up here letting you know what's going down with that. But number four is use your content. So just talked about having everything I needed, but even if you don't, you have thoughts in your head. And she just gave you the game, that game about on your commute there and from, like, wow, that's game. I mean, a lot of people aren't really commuting as much right now with the virus and things, but even for those of you who have anxiety about going back and how you're not going to be able to work on your stuff as much as you were in this time, well, that's a cheat code for you, using the commute. So you have that to look forward to. And that was it, right? Those are the four game points. Okay, we got four quarters. That's it. One, two, three, four. I love it. So, man, this was phenomenal. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time and giving these listeners the game and giving me a kick in the back as the productivity coach, right? So thank you for that. But each week on the podcast, we end with a productivity boss move of the week. So in all of this you shared, I would like you to give us one thing that if we don't do anything else that you said, if we just did this one thing, that's going to, you know, have the most, that's going to be the most important thing that we could do.
Own your time. It's going to be that, you know, that hack that I gave for when you're driving into work, that hack can be while you're working out. That hack can be while you're walking. That hack can be while you're shopping. That hack can be done in any instance. Own your time. And, you know, it's crazy because we always talk about, you know, I'm multitasking. First of all, when you multitask, you don't get much done. But when you think about it in this particular instance where you're stuck, you're in one place and you're not going anywhere else, you have the time. That's one of the biggest things that people often say when it comes to writing their book. I don't have the time. I have to find the time. Oprah does not have any more time in her day than you do. Beyonce does not have any more time in her day than you do. Les Brown has no more time in his day than you do. The difference is they're very productive and precise and deliberate about what they do in that time. So when you own your time, oh, that means that my time before I go to work, I'm not talking to nobody on the phone. Sorry, unless it's an emergency. And this is a hack for me, y'all. My phone stay on do not disturb. My family know how to break through and my family know how to contact me and, you know, get a hold of me. And close friends know.
Hey, Alex, I got something on that.
Look,
how does my mother know how to get through on a do not disturb? I don't understand it. I'm like, my phone can be all the way shut down, and all of a sudden, Mom Dukes pops up. I'm like, you ever seen that commercial with that guy on the he's on the skyscraper?
And she talk about the squirrels.
Yes, his mother call him talk about the squirrels. That is my mother. I'm telling you, that is my life. I'm like, how is it even?
There's a way to break through. I had to tell my family it because, you know, they started looking for me with smoke signals. And But my phone will stay on do not disturb because when I'm trying to get something done, I need to get things done. And when we don't own our time, we'll be quick to answer every call that comes through. We'll be quick to go and look at every notification that pops up. We'll be quick to look at every text message. You know, you can't do that. Own your time.
Yeah. And you just summed it up right there, just in that. And I put it, you know, my part of my job as a coach is to put things, to organize information in such a way that people can easily digest it and do something about it, which is why this, you know, these multiple books are going to be flowing out of me from this, you know, episode, the effects of this episode. But the productivity boss move of the week, from what I gathered from what you just shared, is own your time, record yourself, and document knowledge to produce your book.
That's it.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Where can they follow you, Altavis?
So, Altavis Pelzer, your voice manager, and you can follow me at several different ways. You can follow the podcast by going to bit.ly/speakeasypodcastshow, or you can come join the conversation. Our free Facebook group is open to the public, bit.ly/world voice community. We would love to have you come in. There's always great information going on, and it's a global community. There's podcasters, magazine founders. Listen, there's all types of people in there. So you can always ask questions, connect, network, and engage.
Love it. Love it. And you're going to share those connecting points with me, right? So I can put it in the show notes.
Oh, yes. Most definitely.
Yes. Appreciate that. Because you were in excitement mode. And I was like, I definitely am not catching all of that. So I know somebody's listening, feeling that way. So how you can stay in contact with Altavis will be in the show notes as well. So you can just click a link and show up to the place where she wants to meet you. So Thank you so much once again for taking this time to share with the Productivity Boss Moves listeners. Listen, everybody, remember, it's not enough to dream. We must do something about it. I'm Robert Price, your productivity coach, helping you clarify your gift to increase your marketplace value and productivity. Everybody, have a productive week.
Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Productivity Boss Moves. If you have any questions, topic suggestions, or just want to say hello, visit robertprice.co. If you haven't done so already, please take a minute and leave a quick rating and review of the show on Apple Podcasts or any other platform you listen to.